Chapter 13. Knowest thou not yet that men commence thy votaries, for want of sense? Nor shall Vanessa be the theme, to manage thy abortive scheme. She'll prove the greatest of thy foes, and yet I scorn to interpose, but using neither skill nor force, leave all things to their natural course. The goddess thus pronounced her doom, when, lo, Vanessa in her bloom, advanced like Atalanta's star, but rarely seen, and seen from far. In a new world with caution stepped, watched all the company she kept, well knowing from the books she read what dangerous paths young virgins tread. Would seldom at the park appear, nor saw the playhouse twice a year, yet not incurious, was inclined to know the converse of mankind. First issued from perfumers' shops a crowd of fashionable fops, they liked her how she liked the play, then told the tattle of the day, a duel fought last night at two about a lady you know who, mentioned a new Italian, come either from Muscovy or Rome, gave hints of who and who's together, then fell to talking of the weather. Last night was so extremely fine, the ladies walked till after nine. Then in soft voice, and speech absurd, with nonsense every second word, with fustian from exploded plays, they celebrate her beauty's praise, run o'er their cant of stupid lies, until the murders of her eyes. With silent scorn Vanessa sat, scarce listening to their idle chat, further than sometimes by a frown, when they grew pert, to pull them down. At last she spitefully was bent, to try their wisdom's full extent, and said, she valued nothing less than titles, figure, shape, and dress, that merit should be chiefly placed in judgment, knowledge, wit, and taste, and these, she offered to dispute, alone distinguish man from brute, that present times have no pretense to virtue, in the noble sense by Greeks and Romans understood, to perish for our country's good. She named the ancient heroes round, explained for what they were renowned, then spoke with censure, or applause, of foreign customs, rites, and laws, through nature and through art she ranged, ungracefully her subject changed. In vain, her hearers had no share in all she spoke, except to stare. Their judgment was upon the whole, dash that lady is the dullest soul, dash then tipped their forehead in a jeer, as who should say she wants it here. She may be handsome, young, and rich, but none will burn her for a witch. A party next of glittering dames, from round the purlieus of St. James, came early, out of pure goodwill, to see the girl in deshabille. Their clamor lighting from their chairs, grew louder, all the way upstairs, at entrance loudest, where they found the room with volumes littered round, Vanessa held Montan, and Reed, whilst Mrs. Susan combed her head. They called for tea and chocolate, and fell into their usual chat, discoursing with important face, on ribbons, fans, and gloves, and lace. Showed patterns just from India brought, and gravely asked her what she thought, whether the red or green were best, and what they cost. Vanessa guessed, as came into her fancy first, named half the rates, and liked the worst. The scandal next, what awkward thing was that, last Sunday, in the ring? I'm sorry Mopsa breaks so fast, I said her face would never last, Corinna with that youthful air, is 30, and a bit to spare. Her fondness for a certain earl began, when I was but a girl. Phyllis, who but a month ago was married to the Tunbridge beau, I saw coquetting t'other night in public with that odious knight. They rallied next Vanessa's dress. That gown was made for old Queen Bess. Dear madam, let me set your head. Don't you intend to put on red? A petticoat without a hoop. Sure, you are not ashamed to stoop. With handsome garters at your knees, no matter what a fellow sees. Filled with disdain, with rage inflamed, both of herself and sex ashamed, the nymph stood silent out of spite, nor would vouchsafe to set them right. Away the fair detractors went, and gave, by turns, their censures vent. She's not so handsome in my eyes. For wit, I wonder where it lies. She's fair and clean, and that's the most. But why proclaim her for a toast? A baby face, no life, no airs, but what she learned at country fairs. Scarce knows what difference is between rich Flanders lace, and Colbertine. I'll undertake my little Nancy, and flounces as a better fancy. With all her wit, I would not ask her judgment, how to buy a mask. We begged her, but to patch her face, she never hit one proper place, which every girl at 5 years old can do, as soon as she is told. I own, that out of fashion stuff becomes the creature well enough. The girl might pass, if we could get her to know the world a little better. To know the world. A modern phrase for visits, amber, balls, and plays. Thus, to the world's perpetual shame, the queen of beauty lost her aim. Too late with grief she understood palace had done more harm than good. For great examples are but vain, where ignorance begets disdain. Both sexes, armed with guilt and spite, against Vanessa's power unite. To copy her few nymphs aspired. Her virtues fewer swains admired. So stars, beyond a certain height, give mortals neither heat nor light. Yet some of either sex, endowed with gifts superior to the crowd, with virtue, knowledge, taste, and wit, she condescended to admit, with pleasing arts she could reduce men's talents to their proper use, and with address each genius hold to that wherein it most excelled, thus making others' wisdom known, could please them, and improve her own. A modest youth said something new, she placed it in the strongest view. All humble worth she strove to raise, would not be praised, yet loved to praise. The learned met with free approach, although they came not in a coach. Some clergy too she would allow, nor quarreled at their awkward bow. But this was for Cadenus's sake, a gownman of a different make, whom Pallas, once Vanessa's tutor, had fixed on for her coadjutor. But Cupid, full of mischief, longs to vindicate his mother's wrongs. On Pallas all attempts are vain, one way he knows to give her pain, vows on Vanessa's heart to take due vengeance, for her patron's sake. Those early seeds by Venus sown, in spite of Pallas, now were grown, and Cupid hoped they would improve by time, and ripen into love. The boy made use of all his craft, in vain discharging many a shaft, pointed at colonels, lords, and bow. Cadenus warded off the blows, for placing still some book betwixt, the darts were in the cover fixed, or often blunted and recoiled, on Plutarch's morals struck, were spoiled. The queen of wisdom could foresee, but not prevent the fate's decree, and human caution tries in vain to break that adamantine chain. Vanessa, though by Pallas taught, by love invulnerable thought, searching in books for wisdom's aid, was, in the very search, betrayed. Cupid, though all his darts were lost, yet still resolved to spare no cost. He could not answer to his fame the triumphs of that stubborn dame, a nymph so hard to be subdued, who neither was coquette nor prude. I find, says he, she wants a doctor, both to adore her, and instruct her. I'll give her what she most admires, among those venerable sires. Cadenus is a subject fit, grown old in politics and wit, caressed by ministers of state, of half mankind the dread and hate. Whether vexations love attend, she need no rivals apprehend her sex, with universal voice, must laugh at her capricious choice. Cadenus many things had writ, Vanessa much esteemed his wit, and called for his poetic works. Meantime the boy in secret lurks, and while the book was in her hand, the urchin from his private stand took aim, and shot with all his strength a dart of such prodigious length, it pierced the feeble volume through, and deep transfixed her bosom too. Some lines, more moving than the rest, struck to the point that pierced her breast, and, borne directly to the heart, with pains unknown, increased her smart. Vanessa, not in years a score, dreams of a gown of 44, imaginary charms confined, and eyes with reading almost blind. Cadenus now no more appears declined in health, advanced in years. She fancies music in his tongue, nor farther looks, but thinks him young. What mariner is not afraid to venture in a ship decayed? What planter will attempt to yoke a sapling with a falling oak? As years increase, she brighter shines. Cadenus with each day declines, and he must fall a prey to time, while she continues in her prime. Cadenus, common forms apart, in every scene, had kept his heart, had sighed and languished, Brown and Red, for pastime, or to show his wit. But time, and books, and state affairs, had spoiled his fashionable airs. He now could praise, esteem, approve, but understood not what was love. His conduct might have made him styled a father, and the nymph his child. That innocent delight he took to see the virgin mind her book, was but the master's secret joy in school, to hear the finest boy. Her knowledge with her fancy grew, she hourly pressed for something new. Ideas came into her mind so fact, his lessons lagged behind. She reasoned, without plotting long, nor ever gave her judgment wrong. But now a sudden change was wrought, she minds no longer what he taught. Cadenus was amazed to find such marks of a distracted mind, for though she seemed to listen more to all he spoke than ever before, he found her thoughts would absent range, yet guess not whence could spring the change. And first he modestly conjectures, his pupil might be tired with lectures, which helped to mortify his pride, yet gave him not the heart to chide. But in a mild dejected strain, at last he ventured to complain. Said, she should be no longer teased, might have her freedom when she pleased. Was now convinced he acted wrong, to hide her from the world so long, and in dull studies to engage one of her tender sex and age. That every nymph with envy owned, how she might shine in the grand monde, and every shepherd was undone, to see her cloistered like a nun. This was a visionary scheme, he waked, and found it but a dream, a project far above his skill, for nature must be nature still. If she was bolder than became a scholar to a courtly dame, she might excuse a man of letters. Thus tutors often treat their betters, and since his talk offensive grew, he came to take his last adieu. Vanessa, filled with just disdain, would still her dignity maintain, instructed from her early years. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.